Father God, we thank you so much for a beautiful day. We thank you for Memorial Day weekend. Yes, it's a great time where family and friends get together and do lots of parties and picnics, but we never want to forget the true meaning of it. It's just honoring those who, especially in our military service, who've given their lives to protect us and our freedom, God. So we pray for their families, pray for those who have served in the military, pray for those who are serving currently. And I like what Bill added. We pray for all those who are first responders as well. And Father God, we also give you praise for those warriors of faith who went before us, who gave us a great example of what it's like to be a Christian, and ultimately for your son who is willing to die on our behalf as well. And pray that you be with us in our time together. And thank you for all this. Jesus' name, pray God. Amen. Well, as I was getting ready for my sermon today, one show kept coming to mind, and it's Kids Say the Darndest Things. You guys remember that show? It was on a number of years ago. There's a bunch of different people who led it, and I love it because kids say really interesting things when you ask them questions, don't they? So I just want to let you guys know that Pastor Colin and I spare no expense. We take a bunch of time to research this stuff for you, and I spent a lot of time researching this. I'm a little embarrassed about how much time, but I found a couple top things that kids say when they were asked questions. So here's a few of them. First ones are patriotic. A kid was asked, who was George Washington's wife? His answer was, Miss America. All right, what about this one? If you could meet Abraham Lincoln today, what would you say to him? Do not go to any theaters. I thought that was good. Some were kind of informative. A five-year-old asked his mom, can I have a Twix? To which his mom replied, do you mean can you have a Twix? And he replied, no, I only want one. What is one Twix called? I don't know. Now, another boy was asked, what are three things you want to do in the future? His response was, one, get a girlfriend, two, kiss her, and three, rule the world. I don't know how the third one has to do with the other two, but I don't know if I should give him a high five or be a little concerned about this kid, but interesting. And Christians, we need to be careful how we're explaining things to our kids. Here's a few for you. Whatever happened to Adam and Eve, a kid was asked. Whatever happened to Adam and Eve? His answer was, God sent them to hell and then transferred them to Los Angeles. Some days the two places may not be that different. I don't know, but we'll talk about that later. What about this one? What do we learn from the story of Jesus turning water into wine? To which a young girl answered, the more wine we get, the better the wedding is. I've been to a couple weddings, that might actually be true. Anyways, how about a soccer coach who was rallying up his kids team, and he said, when you're trying to score a goal, kick the ball with the laces of your shoes. To which someone's four-year-old daughter promptly responded, we're in preschool, there's only Velcro walking around here. And what about this one? This is my favorite. This was on an actual math test. This was a math problem. If Robbie had 52 candy bars and he ate 38 of them in one day, what does he have left? To which a kid wrote, diabetes. Now, we love these things. We love hearing what kids say because they're often hilarious, because they know enough to understand a little bit about the topic, but often they don't know enough to actually get what's really going on. Now, before we laugh at kids, we do the same thing as adults, don't we? We say silly things from time to time. Sometimes what we say is funny. Sometimes what we say is not really insignificant, so we just pass it by. And sometimes, though, if we repeat something over and over again, we might actually start believing something that's not 100% accurate, something that is not true. And so that's why we decided to do this series, Say What?, and where we're taking a look at some things that about the Bible says and about faith, and some things that Christians may not always realize that it says. And so today we're going to talk about the difference between angels and humans. Now, why are we doing that? Well, if you've ever been to a funeral or someone has passed away, sometimes you might hear something said like, well, heaven just needed another angel. Has anyone ever heard that before? And I think people are saying that in kindness or trying to encourage someone. Usually they're talking about someone's character. They were like an angel. And that's fine. I just want to be clear, though, that we understand that the Bible teaches, it does teach that angels are real, but humans and angels are different beings. Humans don't become angels when they die. Humans will never be angels, and angels will never be humans. As I'm explaining it to teenagers and kids, usually I use the example of cats and dogs. Yeah, they're similar. They both have four legs and fur, but cats and dogs are also very different. They'll never be one or the other. That is, unless you're my dog, Zoe, who thinks she's a cat sometimes. She's 35 pounds. I've seen her literally jump laterally onto the edge of a couch and walk across it. She thinks she's a little lap dog. She loves to sit right here on my face like a cat. And I think sometimes we get the same difference with angels and humans as we think about cats and dogs. So, give you a quick download of what the Bible says about angels and some of our similarities to them. First off, we know that they were both created by God. Colossians clearly says that all things were created through God, both in heaven and on earth, both the visible and the invisible. So we know that angels, just like everything else in the universe, was created by God. We also know that we both possess an element of free will. That's the ability to choose to follow God or not. We know this because the Bible says about Satan, who was once an angel, and that he decided to rebel against God, and some of the angels just did as well, and they were kicked out of heaven. Isaiah 14 says, I saw the dawn falling from heaven. Revelation says, I saw a star falling from heaven. And in Luke, Jesus even said, hey guys, I was there. I was there when this happened. I saw Satan kicked out of heaven, and he fell like lightning. Just some ideas that we know that, again, that even angels had free will and some chose to rebel against God. Now, the interesting thing about this is that we also know, or we don't know, how many angels there really are. Hebrews says it's a countless number of angels that God created. But we also have this idea that the vast majority remain loyal to God. Revelation gives us this idea, this metaphor, that it seems like when Satan was kicked out, about a third of the angels decided to side with him, and instantly they were kicked out of heaven. But here's a curious thing. When Satan and his angels decided to sin, that didn't impact the rest of heaven. It didn't impact all the other angels. There's a curious thing about that, and we'll talk about that later on in our sermon today. And something else, God still uses angels today. Hebrews gives us the warning to be nice to everyone you meet. Make sure you're kind even to strangers, because some people have actually interacted with angels and didn't even know about it. So why are we talking about angels today and all these things? Some things I want you to know about the differences about humans and angels. First off, only humans were created in God's image. We see that in Genesis 1. It says, out of all creation, God decided to create us in his image. That's a lot of implications. Genesis 2 says, God breathed the breath of life into us. So only humans were created in God's image. We also see this interesting passage from Psalm. It says, what is man that you are mindful of him, and a son of man that you care for him? Yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. Now, the psalmist seems to be talking about humanity, and he's asking these questions. God, why are we so important that you're constantly thinking about us? And for just a little while, you made us a little bit lower than a word that's used in the Bible called Elohim. Now, there's a little debate about that. Elohim can mean God, the one true God, but Elohim can also be used to mean heavenly beings. So some translations say angels. Well, the writer of Hebrews takes the same passage, and he uses it to describe Christ. And he says, God made Christ just a little bit lower than angels. And what he's talking about is that Christ decided to become a man. He decided to come into our form so that he could live just like we do, suffer and die for us, and so that we could be redeemed. So just for a little while, he was a little lower than angels. So it seems to be talking about ranking here. But we also have some interesting things about believers. You see, believers shall reign with Christ. That's only what's said of us. It only calls us children of God, not angels, and that we are joint heirs with Christ. That has some amazing implications, including what Paul says in 1 Corinthians. A bunch of Christians were arguing with each other, and they were taking lawsuits to the government. And Paul's saying, why are you guys arguing? Can't you settle these fights amongst yourself with other believers? Why can't you just judge in these lower matters? Don't you know that one day you will judge angels? To which I'm sure the people who heard it, and even us, are like, No, Paul, we didn't know we could judge angels. What does that mean? Again, there's a lot of debate around that word judge. Some people believe only God says he can judge angels, good or bad, whatever. But that word that's used in Greek there also means to rule or to govern. So it's this idea that humans, redeemed believers, will one day be able to have authority over angels as given by God. So that's crazy, but again, it says how we are different than angels. Why am I spending so much time with this? Because I want you guys to understand that there's some great things we can understand about God by looking at angels in the Bible. Now, the Bible cautions us about having an unhealthy emphasis on angels. We're not supposed to worship them. We're not supposed to pray to them. Only God is worthy of that. But I think there's some great passages in the Bible that we can learn more about God's heart and his love for us through them. So I told you guys to open up to Daniel chapter 10, and that's actually where we're going to start today. Just to give you a little context, Daniel was a guy, him and his friends, and many other people were taken captive and led to a foreign land. Daniel has many adventures, including being thrown into a lion's den because he wouldn't turn against his God. We'll talk about that a little bit later. And over, amazing things are happening in the book of Daniel. Towards the end of Daniel, we see that an angel is sent to Daniel to reveal some things that are set place in the future, and he's given some prophecy. But this is right after Daniel has been praying and asking God to help his people. He feels really bad that he's not in his homeland, that his people are suffering, and some amazing things happen from this passage. So we'll start with Daniel chapter 10. We'll go verses 4 through 14. On the 24th day of the first month, as I was standing on the bank of the great river, that is, the Tigris, I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a man clothed in linen with a belt of fine gold from Uphaz around his waist. His body was like beryl, his face like the appearance of lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze, and the sound of his words like the sound of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. For the men who were with me did not see the vision, but a great trembling fell upon them, and they fled to hide themselves. So I was left alone and saw this great vision, and no strength was left in me. My radiant appearance was fearfully changed, and I retained no strength. Then I heard the sound of his words, and as I heard the sound of his words, I fell on my face in deep sleep with my face to the ground. And behold, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly loved, understand the words that I speak to you, and stand upright, for now I have been sent to you. And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood up trembling. Then he said to me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humble yourself before your God, your words have been heard, and I have come because of your words. The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, but Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I was left there with the kings of Persia, and came to make you understand what is to happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision is for days yet to come. So we have Daniel staying with a group of people, and out of nowhere he sees this vision. Now the guys around him don't see it, they just have this sense of fear and trembling. But Daniel sees this angel standing before him, and the Bible goes into great detail of what he saw, and all the power that he had. And again, as we're looking at this passage, I think there's some things we can glean about God by looking at how the angel interacted with Daniel. Now, first thing we can glean is this: God loves to reassure and encourage his people. God loves to reassure and to encourage his people. I love what the angel says in verse 11, and then he repeats it in verse 19. He says, O Daniel, man greatly loved. Some versions say highly esteemed. Some versions say very precious. God sent an angel to remind Daniel of how important he was, how much God loved him, how precious he was to him. Do you know God says the same thing to you today? You are greatly loved. You are very precious. You are highly esteemed in his eyes. God reminds us of that many different ways. This way he chose to use an angel to express his love for Daniel. And we shouldn't be surprised for that. The Greek word for angel actually means messenger. So they're giving messages all the time. Hebrews has kind of their job description now. Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation? So angels are often sent by God to help those who will inherit salvation. Who is that? as you and me, that's believers. They're sent to encourage us, to send us messages, to say, hey, God still loves you. He's not forgotten about you. He is still by your side. We see many examples of that in the Bible. An angel, Gabriel, was sent to Mary, and his first words was, highly favored and blessed among all women will you be. We see that in Gideon. I love the story of Gideon, Judges. If you have a chance, look it up later, but Judges 6, Gideon is feeling bad. His people are being beaten left and right, and an angel comes to him and says, mighty warrior, God has great plans for you. Gideon's response is, you must have the wrong guy. I'm the worst in my family, and my family is the worst in the neighborhood. Do you know who we are? But again, the angel says, no, God calls you a mighty warrior. He says that he wants to do great things through you. And sometimes we need that reminder as well. And finally, Jesus himself was said to be ministered to by angels. In Matthew, we see after he was sent to the desert and was tempted by Satan, God sent angels to minister and encourage him. Also in Luke, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, at his weakest moment, when he didn't want to go forward with the cross, but said, God, not my will, but your will. Luke says that an angel came and encouraged him. Our God is a God who loves us. He thinks we are precious. No matter what you might be going through today, God says, I understand that. I've seen you. I know that you're hurting. And I just want to encourage your heart today that you are precious to me. You're highly esteemed. You are loved. God can do this through many ways. Just this week, I got a lovely note from a couple in our congregation, just an encouraging note, and it was very nice to get. And it inspired me to be encouraging to someone else. So I wrote a note to one of my friends who recently had a birthday. I just let him know how much I appreciated him. You see, I think those are great reminders for us. That again, one of the things God uses angels to be is encouragements to us. But we can also be that for each other. My question for you with this is, how did God last encourage your heart? Did he have someone send you a note? Did he have someone give you a call on the phone and say, hey, how are you doing today? Did he send an angel to say, hey, I love you? Or was it just something in the Bible that he brought to your memory? Again, God loves you. You are precious to him. Never doubt that, no matter what you're going through. My second question is, how can you encourage someone else today? Again, we're not angels, but we can be like angels and maybe giving a message to someone who needs it. If you know someone who's lost a loved one or someone who might be going through a hard time, give them a call. Send them a note. Say, hey, I'm here and I'm praying for you. Maybe that's the one thing that they've been waiting for. The second thing we can learn from this passage is that God loves to protect and provide for his people. God loves to protect and provide for his people. Looking at Daniel 10 again, verses 12 through 14, I love this part of the passage. The angel says, fear not, Daniel. Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humble yourself before your God, your words have been heard, and I have come because of your words. The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, but Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I was left there with the king of Persia, and came to make you understand what is to happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision is for days yet to come. I love what the angel said. Did you guys get that? The angel tells Daniel, the moment you started praying, the moment you humbled yourself and sought God for understanding, God was at work. You just couldn't see what was going on because for 23 days, I was in the middle of the spiritual battle that you had no idea was going on. But again, the moment you prayed, God was active. There are many people here who've been praying for something for years. Maybe it's salvation of a loved one. Maybe it's a health issue, or maybe just encouragement. The moment you start praying and you humble yourself before God, God activates all of heaven. I love that encouragement to us. Just because we can't see God working doesn't mean that he's not. God knows what your need is. He knows what your problem is. And again, the moment you start praying for it, he's already sending angels and other things to meet that need. That's the type of God that we know. And again, we shouldn't be surprised about that. Psalm 91 says, for he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Many people pray for things, but then they get frustrated. They get discouraged because they don't see God answering. What we always need to remind ourselves is that we're in the midst of a spiritual battle. There's stuff going on that we can't always see. Ephesians tells us that. When you're just praying for something here on earth, again, there's spiritual things happening, things that are invisible to us most of the time. that we don't know of. But just because we don't see God working doesn't mean that he's not active. We see God sending an angel to actually practically help someone. Again, in Daniel, he was thrown into a lion's den just because he wouldn't turn his back on God. And the Bible says God sent an angel to shut the mouth of a lion, to actually physically protect him in his time of need. We also see that in the story of Elisha. I love Elisha. He's a prophet of God. And in 2 Kings, I love the story. Him and his servant were in the city, and they had angered a king, and the king had surrounded the city with an entire army. And Elijah's servant is freaking out. He's like, Elisha, we need to go. What are we going to do? And Elijah says something curious. He says, greater in number are those who are with us than those who are with him. Elijah's servant looks out the window again. Do you not see all those troops stacked against us? What are you talking about? And Elijah prays that God would open his eyes. And at that moment, the servant is able to see on the hills behind the troops, chariots of fire and angelic armies. God went on to beat that battle himself. And Elijah gave God praise. Again, just because we can't always see what God is up to, what he's doing, doesn't mean that he is not by our side. God is always there with us. The moment you start praying is the moment God activates things, and he is working on your side. This won't be a surprise to many of you guys who know me, but to be honest, I'm kind of a geek at heart. It's okay. I like comic books, I like movies, all that stuff. And one of the movie trilogies I love the most is Lord of the Rings. Anyone seen Lord of the Rings movies? A few of you guys. Well, at the end of the second movie, there's a bunch of people, all of our heroes are held up in this one castle, and they are fighting for their lives. And they sent one of their friends, Gandalf, out to get help, but they don't see Gandalf coming. And so they're starting to lose hope. And so they get prepared to do their last charge out, and they're prepared to die. But just as they're charging out, they see Gandalf at the top of a hill, and he shines his brilliant light and reveals a whole group of troops that he's gathered. And they charge down to help them out, and they end up winning the battle. Again, just because the guys in the castle didn't see what Gandalf was doing doesn't mean that he wasn't at work. He was rolling around trying to make sure that they could get reinforcements. The same thing's with us and God. Again, just because we don't see what God might be up to doesn't mean that he's not working. And I love this passage in Daniel that reminds us. Again, Daniel was praying fervently that God would answer his prayer requests. And the angel says, the moment you started praying is the moment that God dispatched me, and all of heaven was attentive to your need. God does the same thing for you. When you pray, when you humble yourself for God, when you ask for understanding, he is active. He is at work. He is doing things on your behalf. When's the last time God answered a prayer for you? What was it like? How did he answer it? Whatever way he did, I want you to remember that. Because if you remember what God did for you in the past, you'll have encouragement that God can do the same thing in the future. My second question for you is, will you be the answer to prayer for someone else? Again, we're not angels, but we can be like an angel to someone. Again, if you know someone who has a practical need, maybe their car just broke down, you can offer them a ride. Maybe they're having struggles paying their bills. Maybe you can take one of those bills and pay it for yourself. You know, whatever need that you have, the Bible encourages not to overlook the opportunity to do good, especially for those who are believers. Again, God loves to protect and provide for his people. He will find ways to do that for you. Always be encouraged about that, and that he might also use you to help someone else. The third thing I think we can learn about God's heart through this passage is this, that he loves to rejoice in the redemption of his people. He loves to rejoice in the redemption of his people. Well, the angel goes on, and he's telling Daniel these great prophecies and what's going to happen. And to be honest, not all of them are great. He says the world's going to go through a difficult time. But if you flip over to Daniel chapter 12, verses 1 to 3, he says this. At that time shall arise Michael, the great prince who has charge of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never has been seen since there was a nation. But at that time your people shall be delivered. Everyone whose name shall be found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. The angel has this message. Daniel, things aren't going to go so well here on earth, but you take heart because God is going to deliver your people. And they will shine like the stars in heaven forever and ever. Daniel had no idea what that meant. He had no idea about God's redemption plan. The prophets of old had no idea. Even the angels themselves were curious about what God was doing. First Peter says this, "And now this good news has been announced to you by those who preach in the power of the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. It is also wonderful that even the angels are eagerly watching these things happen." See, the Bible kind of gives us this picture. Just think about this. You're an angel. You're sitting in heaven. And God has always existed as Father, Son, Holy Spirit. But Jesus decides to get off his throne, and he does something weird. He decides to come to earth and become a man like us, to live like we do, to suffer like we do, to go through our issues and our problems. He decides to die on our behalf just so that he can rescue and redeem us. The Bible paints this picture that the angels are up in heaven. What is going on? Why would God decide to do this? It's because of his love for us. I talked earlier that when Satan and his angels sin, it seemed to just affect them, not all the rest of the angels. But when Adam and Eve sin, if you remember, all of humanity was cursed, and all creation as well. See, somehow we're all connected, and I don't understand all of that. But we needed a savior. We needed someone to enter our bloodline and to rescue us. God himself decided to do that in the person of Jesus. Again, Jesus loved us so much that of all creation, he chose to become like a human and live like we do so that he could rescue us. That's how important God thinks you are. Jesus didn't do that for angels. He didn't do that for dogs or cats. He did that for us. Hebrews says Christ came not for the angels' sake, but for humanity to rescue us as people. He says also that humans are the ones that receive redemption and forgiveness. It tells us in Ephesians. And those angels who still follow God today, again, they're not jealous about that. They're excited about that. They rejoice with us. They celebrate with us. There's a great passage in the Bible found in Luke. Jesus tells this parable of a lady who loses one coin, and she's searching her whole house for it. And when she finds it, she calls up her neighbor and says, "I found it." And Jesus goes on to say, just like that, when one person comes back and knows God, comes back and realizes, oh, God is real and he loves me, he sacrificed himself for me, and I want to follow him with the rest of my life. It says that there is joy in the presence of God's angels. Even when one person, one sinner, repents. I'll give you the Derek Whitmore version of that. When one person becomes a believer, all of heaven throws a party. Angels are giving themselves high fives. They're like, yes, they made it home. Again, they're rejoicing with us over this idea of redemption. Why would God love us so much out of all creation that he would become like us just to die so that he could redeem us? That's an amazing thing to think about. It's Memorial Day, and every time we hit Memorial Day, I think about different war movies and things. And probably one of my favorite war movies is Saving Private Ryan. Has anyone ever seen that before? If you guys don't know the story of that real fast, there was a guy, Private Ryan. He had brothers, and him and his brothers were shipped out to war. All of his brothers died, so he's the last person left. And so the government feels really bad about that. So they decide to bring him home, but they have to send a squad of people just to get this one guy out of there. And as they do that, people in the squad are getting killed. They're sacrificing their lives for this one guy. Towards the end, when the commanding officer is laying there like bleeding out, he looks at Ryan and he says, "Earn this. Like, be worthy of all these people dying for you." Well, that actually haunts the man for the rest of his life. Whereas in the movie, he's older and he turns to his wife and he says, "Have I been a good man? Have I earned all these people sacrificing themselves for me?" Here's my word for you today. That is not what Jesus says to you. Jesus doesn't say, "Earn this." There's no way we could have earned this. Jesus says, "Enjoy this. Remember this. Rejoice in this and share this." Jesus willingly gave his life for you. Again, not for angels, for us as people, so that we might come and know him. If you ever doubt your value, if you're ever going through a difficult time, if you ever think, "God, why am I going through this? Do you love me?" Remember that one fact. Jesus died for you and you personally. And the Bible says when you realize that and when you come back to God, all of heaven rejoices. All the angels join with you and say, "There's no way you could have earned this, but enjoy this, rejoice in this, and share this with other people." Do we really celebrate all that God has done in our life? So often we get discouraged and we lose hope because we focus on the negative. We don't realize all the amazing things that God has done in our life. Do you celebrate the fact that God has made a way for you to have a relationship with him? Do you celebrate the fact that God now calls you a joint heir with him, that he calls you your son or daughter? Do you celebrate the fact that the creator of the universe cares about you personally? And when you pray, he instantly is at work. Do you celebrate that fact, knowing that God is by your side and that he wants to encourage you, and that he uses great things like angels to help us out? And do you also share and celebrate what God is doing for others? A lot of times, I think as people, we get jealous of what God might do in someone's life because we forget all that God has done for us. You should be the first person to celebrate when you hear someone great news. And you should also be willing to go out and tell people about this great news. Out of all creation, God decided to become like us, like humans, and help us out. Earlier in the service, we played a song for you, The Songs That the Angels Can't Sing by Casting Crowns. I encourage you guys to look that up again. And I think that's a great song. I think that's a great reminder of all the amazing things that are happening. Please be in prayer for my family. As you guys heard, again, we just found out yesterday my uncle passed away. We just found out on Mother's Day that my grandmother, I just have one surviving grandparent, she's going through dementia, so we're worried about her. So please be in prayer for our family as we are praying for you. But the one thing that gives me hope is that they both know Jesus. And so that gives me hope that I will see them again. That the sacrifice that Jesus made for me is also a sacrifice that he made for them and for every person on this earth. The Bible says at the end of time, we will sing praises along with the angels, rejoicing and praising God. But there is one song that only humans will be able to sing, and it's about God's redemptive work, because that was only for us. Let me read to you a few lyrics of that song again. I have a song that the angels can't sing. You saved my weary soul from all my sin and pain and suffering. A song of the redeemed, I once was lost, but you found me. I have a song that the angels can't sing. You stepped out of your throne all wrapped in flesh. You made yourself like me. A song of righteousness I couldn't reach till you reached me. Oh, I have a song that the angels can't sing. Oh, glory, hallelujah to the Lamb that was slain. I cannot hold it in. You've given me a brand new name. A song of my deliverance. You've broken all my chains and I am free. Oh, I have a song that the angels can't sing. God has made everything that we know, everything that we see and that we can't see, both humans and angels, and both are great. But we have differences. Again, humans will never become angels because we're different. That's how God designed us. But that's also a great reminder to us. There are tons of angels that are ministering by our side today and honoring God. And I think as we think about that and reflect on that, especially this passage in the Bible reminds us of many things. Again, that God loves to reassure and encourage his people, that God loves to protect and provide for his people, that God loves to rejoice in the redemption of his people. I'm not sure what you might be going through this week. I'm not sure what you might be facing, what you might face in the future. But keep heart knowing that God, as soon as you pray, as soon as you humble yourself before him, is active. He's at work. He's got all of heaven attentive to your need. Also remember that he loves to rejoice over you. He loves to encourage you. He loves to protect you and provide for you. And he wants you to share that with other people. Again, this idea that God became like us is so amazing. You should never doubt your self-worth. Never doubt that God loves you. He gave his all for us. Let's keep that always in mind. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for all that you've done, all that you've given us, God. We thank you for this idea of angels, God. We know that they are real. Your Bible talks about it, God. Some people have interacted and have great stories of seeing them, Father God. Father God, we know that we're not supposed to worship angels or pray to them. That is not what we're supposed to do. We only are to give that to you, Father God. But we thank you that you are a God who cares about us enough to give us help when we need it and to send great things like angels to protect us by our side. And God, though we are not angels ourselves, God, we can be like an angel to someone else. We can give your message of hope, God. We can celebrate with them when you do great things, God. And we can help provide simple needs for them, God. We know that you love when we do that. Father God, for everyone who is here today, I pray that they would never doubt their self-worth, that they would never get discouraged, even when they've been praying for something for years, that they would know that as soon as they start praying, you hear them, and that you're active. And to all the friends and family that we know who may not know you yet, I pray that we will share this message with them so that at the end of time that they would have a song that they can sing with us. Thank you for all this. All God's name we pray. Amen.